This is the Great Northern Radio Show, live from Central Lakes College in Brainerd. We're originating on KAXE and KBXE. And yes, the railroad did bring prosperity to Brainerd, but in 1875, it brought tragedy. While returning to Brainerd, a train carrying steel rails and merchandise crossed a poorly engineered bridge, tipping into the turbulent Mississippi. The Great Northern Radio players are proud to present a strange tale of coal, renegade flower, and microcosmic melodrama, Boxcar, 1875.
Oh, excuse me. Do you know if this is the train for Brainerd, Minnesota?
It certainly is. I take it you're traveling alone?
Yes, I am. All the way from Boston. I was there visiting relatives, but I'm afraid my vacation has passed.
Well, you're welcome to sit with me. I'm Jane Foster. I'm returning from Montreal.
Pleased to make your acquaintance. I am Esther Lundgren. May I ask why you were in Montreal?
Well, I consider myself a professional student. Lately, I've been taking a class on emerging sports in the 19th century. I went up to Montreal to attend the first indoor game of something called hockey.
How interesting.
Hardly. All these men on skates yelling and chasing around little black things that looked like overcooked hamburgers. It'll never catch on. You said your name is Esther Lundgren. That's so familiar. I could swear I've read it somewhere.
I was a society columnist in Boston for several years. I now write for the Brainerd Dispatch.
Oh, my goodness. I love your work. My absolute favorite was the one you wrote about proper hair care of the 1870s. A bonnet that's gray keeps the horses at bay. Excellent advice and so easy to remember. Might I ask you, why did you decide to settle in Brainerd?
Oh, well, it's a bit of a long story. You see, there was this man I knew once. He was tall, and he bore a striking resemblance to Ulysses S. Grant. He was so dreamy, I just couldn't...
Hear ye, the train will arrive soon, for I have seen it in our nearest future.
Oh, Esther, this is Raymond. I met him when I left from Albany. He's what they call a character. He makes predictions.
Hello, Mrs. Lundgren.
Oh, how did you know my name?
That is just one of my mysterious powers. Also, it was written on your luggage tag. You must be the same Esther Lundgren as a society columnist. I know my wife particularly liked your article that gave an insight into the mind of the lovable lumberjack. He sees tree rings all day. So here are some tips to get him to put the ring on your finger.
Oh, here it is. But we'd better get ready. Well, Raymond, what is the matter?
We must not get on this train. This locomotive is on a dangerous destination of doom. Hear me, the seal of the great gray fox will appear just before the catastrophe comes. The river swallows all into the White Death.
Oh, my goodness! Maybe we
should... Nonsense, Esther. He's been predicting doom and gloom all the way from Poughkeepsie. We were supposed to be struck by lightning and mowed down by hailstones. Now, quickly!
Oh, Jane! Jane! In that crack of thunder, I saw... Oh, my God! It can't be! It isn't possible!
What is it?
I saw a man leaning out of the engine car. His face was smeared with coal, but his eyes... I know that man. I've seen those eyes so many times in my dreams. But it can't be him. It can't be him, because he's dead.
Oh, Esther, you look like you've seen a ghost.
I'm not so sure I haven't. It's quite a long story.
Well, we won't be in Brainerd for hours. Go ahead, tell it.
Well, all right. You see, it begins with a man who looked like Ulysses S. Grant. His eyes sparkled like the sequins on European braziers. I've never seen anyone quite like him, and I've never seen anyone since. We met at the Battle of Gettysburg.
Oh, Miss Lundgren, please, I have my orders. I'm going to need you to leave the battlefield immediately.
Sergeant Larson, that is impossible. I have been assigned to write a column for the most effective ways to remove grass stains from uniforms, and I must have first-hand experience to do so. I assure you that I have adequate protection for the horrors of war. You cannot tell, but my corset is lined with cast iron.
Ah, you're fooling with me, miss. Beg pardon, but you've got one heck of a silhouette. Nice form, pretty hair, and a set of hips that could convince a whole platoon of rebels to accept the premise of constitutional federalism. You couldn't look better with a whole load of smelted ore in your britches.
Oh, really? Just try me. There, you see?
Well, I'll be gosh darn if that isn't true, ma'am.
Just then, Pickett led his charge, and the fight really got going. Sergeant Larson and I were knocked backward by a cannon blast into a trench where we clutched our bodies together for hours to avoid the shrapnel. I clutched out of him out of fear, of course, and shielded himself in the safety of my metalloid bosom. Needless to say, we quickly fell in love. He had 2 weeks of leave after that terrible battle, and we took solace in Philadelphia. It was a wonderful time, but it couldn't last. I wrote a quiz on how to tell if your lover is suffering from consumption, and he went back to his war. But we pledged our undying love to each other, and we swore that we would meet again. I got a telegram weeks later telling me that he had died in battle. I wrote one last column about which handkerchiefs work best at absorbing tears. Then I left the East Coast forever, determined to forget his dazzling eyes and strong cheekbones or that handlebar mustache.
Well, if you think you saw him on the train, then we should check it out. I took a class in ghost hunting last year, and I've just been itching to try out my skills. Let's grab a little bit of holy water here, and maybe a Bible or two.
It's dark in here, isn't it? The very train feels rattled by the wind.
Watch your step, dear. You wouldn't want to be impaled by a demon of the night. Ah!
What is it?
I stubbed my toe on a pallet. My goodness, that hurt. Well, look at all these boxes. I wonder what's in them. Oh, look, medicine. Mr. Fontaine's tonic for any malady under the sun. If God gave you the grip, give it the slip with a nip of Mr. Fontaine's. Oh, it's organic. And it has such a pretty picture, too. A gray fox wrapped around the bottle. My goodness. It's nearly 75% alcohol.
Wait, Jane. Raymond mentioned this. Don't you remember? He said that the seal of the gray fox would appear just before the catastrophe comes. What can it mean? Do you think something terrible is about to happen?
Hey, who's down there?
Eric! It's you! I thought you were dead.
So did everyone else. Someone got my name mixed up on the ledger after Gettysburg. I came back and you were gone.
Not even the cast iron corset could protect me from the damage done when I lost you. I wanted to move on. I came to Brainerd to write in the newspaper about Paul Bunyan's love life, the best colors of summer bonnets, and railroad fashions. And you? What happened to you?
Oh, I spent most of my nights in the saloon reading women's society columns, searching for your byline. Night after night, I read about ways to remove the smell from lumberjack boots and took quizzes that told me what perfume could complement the smell of coal. One man called me a sissy for knowing the proper way to wear a top hat. I killed him. When I got out of prison, I was a bitter, angry man. But I do have a robust appreciation for the life of the 1870s woman.
Oh, Eric, I'm never letting you out of my sight again. Nothing can tear us apart.
Here we go.
Oh, Jane, I lost Eric. We were moving through the water, and I had just climbed onto a door, and then suddenly this enormous barrel of flour came by and just poof, instant paper mache. It swallowed him whole. The white death swallows all. That's what Raymond said.
Oh, don't worry about that now, dear. Raymond and I will get you back to shore on this little boat of ours. You know, it sure is lucky I took a class on whitewater rafting.
Fear not, Mrs. Lundgren. Your trials are nearly at an end. I see Mr. Larson returning to your company very shortly.
Well, that's impossible, Raymond. He's dead. Really dead this time.
Well, but then who is that person just ahead of us?
Oh, it's a miracle! Oh,
that was a close one, Esther. I thought I was a goner for sure.
But you made it in despite of a bridge collapse.
Alas, there is trouble in the future. In a little more than a century, a violent outbreak of diarrhea will grip this city unlike any other.
Oh, Raymond, stop it! So good right now. You know, I took several choral classes. I ought to put them to work. To sing is the most wonderful feeling. This train is bound for glory. This train
is bound for glory. This train.